I was working with a small bath and body company, and she was pregnant and she left for 3 months for her pregnancy. I didn't know if she had had the baby. She just wasn't communicating for a really long time. So I was like, okay, I guess something's going on. So I'm just checking in every once in a while, and she comes out of nowhere and says, I need all of my files and the project finished in 3 days or I'm going to miss my show. And if you can't meet those 3 days, then I want my deposit back. And I was like, we were more than halfway done with the project. It was already a small project, but it was 4 different lines with custom illustrations. I was waiting on her for feedback and for copy and for she was going to edit the illustrations. And I said, whoa, like, I haven't heard from you in 3 months. Like, what are you talking about? And she said, I'm not going to hit my production deadline unless you finish this by Friday. And it was Tuesday afternoon. And I'm like, listen, I need a week. Like, give me something. Like, I can't believe this. And at the time, I really didn't know about bad clients. I really thought that, like, if it went bad, it was my fault. I really took a lot of that blame on myself. And so I just told her no, and she flipped out. I mean, it was like back and forth. She said she was going to involve a lawyer. She said she didn't really understand my contract and how could I trick her into this. She then said that all the art she was just going to take somewhere else that we had already finished. I mean, it was like a nightmare. And I was just thinking, like, this isn't worth the $2,000 left in this project. Like, it was, we were that close to being done, and she just flipped out. I was just scared to death. And I said, you have to pay the balance. Like, we're almost done with this. So you owe this final balance. And when I get that, you can have the files. And she didn't want to pay it. So she said she was going to start over in January with somebody else. I was like, well, good luck. So I have fun with that. So she didn't have, she just had PDFs and stuff. So who knows if she just took those designs and I haven't followed up with her. I was kind of glad to be done with that one. So that's a good, that pretty good horror story, I guess, huh? Who knew that one day I'd laugh about that? I mean, it was pretty terrorizing at the time. Because, like, you want to make people happy. You want to make great work and make sure they're happy and doing things right. And sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. So I've had a few of those. Can you tell?
Good evening. That was Sharon McMullen of Ink and Mortar telling her agency horror story. If you haven't already guessed, this episode is going to be a little different, perhaps a little spookier than past episodes, because we're going to explore the dark side of agency life. I, Chris Bolton, Mister of the Dark, will be your guide on this ghostly journey. We've all wandered down these dark roads, haven't we? You've woken up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, because of a particularly demonic client haunting your dreams. No matter how brave you think you are, you will never be completely immune to toxic personalities that infect and fester just beneath the skin. Today, I bring you 3 stories of agency horror. First, I tell of our own encounter with an evil practitioner of the black arts. Then, Krista Arriaga Volker of Emerge tells us about an agency exorcism. Then Damon Gaumont tells us a chilling tale of the undead. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the Creative Agency Podcast's Open Office of Horrors. This was a few years back. Our agency, Murmur Creative, had recently taken on 3 new employees and we were desperate for new work. And that's when she appeared. For purposes of anonymity, we'll call her Samantha. Samantha ran a small business selling potions, cauldrons, brooms, and other witchy things. She came to us to unburden herself of the responsibility of marketing, design, and social media. Things started off relatively smoothly. Looking back, there were signs we should have noticed. For one, the lizard green hue of her skin. But we were anxious for new business, and we had new employees to support. Samantha's apparent dislike for marketing responsibilities meant that providing feedback and showing up for meetings was a great pain. The pain was often translated into long venting emails. Without the input we needed, we often failed to please her. But we were resolute and we always went back to the drawing board. During this process, we realized we were a little ill-prepared to deal with someone so demanding. We hadn't laid down the rules well enough. We were still figuring out our processes. Samantha often ignored our advice and told us to do things differently, which often ensured that we would fail. We became like children trying to keep her happy rather than professionals who stood up for their work and their expertise. Samantha's feedback was usually punctuated with phrases like, "This looks too Mickey Mouse. This attempt is pathetic, disgusting, amateur. I can't deal with this." And it wasn't just the work. She also fought us in billing, despite having asked us to do the work in the first place. She would send a private email to one of us in order to denigrate another employee. Luckily, we saw through her wicked ways and always shared these emails with the whole group. And her wickedness wasn't just reserved for us. She often disparaged her own employees and used her company's Facebook page to mount attacks on employees she was upset with. We knew the relationship needed to end, but how? We were in the middle of multiple projects, logo redesign, print materials, social media. What would happen if we said we were done? Would she put a hex on us or turn us all into frogs? Would she sue us? We decided it would be best to try and finish the logo project before we went our separate ways. In the end, she beat us to the punch. She had asked us to send out an email newsletter from her MailChimp account, which she set up. We did. The return address on the newsletter was her business email address, which we figured was intentional. But no, she hated her own customers so much that her inbox getting filled with replies to her newsletter was her worst nightmare. She wrote scathing emails full of expletives, calling us all manner of things. In the end, this was the straw that broke the witch's broom. She fired us. It was a joyous day. The scourge was over. But we were no longer the same agency we were before. We bore the scars and the knowledge that evil lurks where you least expect it. And as an agency, you're never, ever truly safe from the horror. The horror. All right, well, I'm here with Krista Arriaga Volker, and she's going to tell us about her agency horror story. Krista, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Krista Arriaga Volker, and I work at Emerge Interactive here in Portland. I've been in the agency world for 12 plus years now, and I'm an interactive senior producer.
Excellent. Well, let's hear your horror story.
All right. This story combines a producer tactic I had to use with my project team and our client from hell. All right, so I'm not religious in any way. Personally, I don't think religion has any defining ideas over exorcism. So who says a producer or a PM can't conduct a client exorcism? Movies always associate the church with an exorcism to compel demons out of people's bodies, but this is what I always tell people. Entities date back to ancient times, times full of mystery and magic. So it's really hard to believe that just one religious thing or person can compel an entity out of someone's body. To me, exorcism is more of a science that hasn't been proven yet, and it is a practice I use right before launch for a particular client and project. Let me take you back to what got us to the point of exorcism to begin with. Our project kicked off with a client too good to be true. She was sweet and kind, a little too agreeable in our creative reviews, but once we passed off that beta link for our website, all hell broke loose. The real tip-off for our team for the inevitable with this client was when, through a major year-long website redesign and build from scratch, she started demonstrating unnatural strength, speaking in an unknown language when referencing our statement of work, and exhibited other diabolical features. For approximately 6 continuous months, markings appeared in our inboxes, which translated to Jira tickets, after which the sounds that claw-like scratches make on chalkboards took the form of late-night text messages, and she also began to speak in tongues in our status meeting calls. Whenever the scratching noise was ignored, the notifications on all forms of technology began to shake, at times violently, and at one time I could have sworn my duvet cover was pulled loose. After many sleepless nights and a defeated project team turning against each other at the hands of our possessed client, I finally managed to locate the entity. The next step was to take it out. For this, I had to set up a spirit room. It was set up in a very specific way. I booked our biggest conference room at the agency, set out tecates with limes in strategic places on our conference room table. The lights were turned down low, and the meeting room was booked at 4 p.m. on a Friday with a buffer of team happy hour to make sure we were safe and secure. There were Sharpie markers set out and printed out headshots of our client. We went through a ceremonial draw whatever you want on the client's face cleanse, and then one by one, in silence, shredded our offerings. There was an unspoken bond to not ever speak unkindly or bring up thou who shall not be named ever again. And where exactly does an entity go after it leaves the body? If successful, when an entity comes out, it is sent back to its source. We pulled the energy out, and the energy was not allowed to stay in our project or at our agency. Perhaps we just shredded it away. 1 week later, our possessed client, unhappy with all, announced her resignation, and we launched a successful project 2 months later with her successor. Our new point of contact ended up being a gift from a greater world. As a producer, I felt lucky to have survived. As a team, we felt lighter. Our exorcism helped and cleansed. Ask anyone on that team and they may allude to relief. Many producers have tried and failed. Some have tried and even died, or perhaps more likely they just quit. I'm lucky today to be able-bodied with all limbs intact and reminded daily of this one single fact. Never underestimate the unholy power of client possession. If you do, you might lose your mind as well as your soul.
All right, well, I have Damon Gaumont here with me, and he's going to tell us a little bit about himself and then share a horror story, an agency horror story for us. Welcome, Damon.
Yeah, thank you for having me down here today. I'm really excited. Hello out there. My name is Damon Gaumont. I'm Associate Creative Director at Emerge Interactive, a digital innovation company. But I have a steeped past of creative work going 15 plus years in all sorts of endeavors, both horrific and wonderful. So I'm here to tell you a tale in the former that will make your skin crawl.
Excellent. I can't wait.
Well, of all the experiences in my creative past, both good and bad, one story stands out among the rest when it comes to the latter. A tale so blood-curdlingly awful, it makes my skin crawl just to think of it. Images of late nights, hair loss, weakened appetites, and a genuine fear of what I might be capable of if pushed to the very brink of sanity. It's not a tale for the weak of heart or mind, and you might need a huge bottle of Pepto-Bismol by the end. It started innocently enough with a visit to the institution I would soon associate with severe mental anguish. An institution so large, many of you know intimately or even have a blind passion for this institution. For years, I had heard the stories and I thought to myself, there's just no way working for this client could be that bad. Believe it, friends, this institution has the power to crush your very soul with a Grim Reaper-style death grip. I knew once I had crossed the threshold of the aforementioned institution, there was no going back. And when I sat in that room and was introduced to a litany of representatives, all seemed strangely well. In fact, my fears for a brief moment seemed completely unjustified. That is, until one of them spoke. Her glacial demeanor, Ginsu-like commentary, and dagger-producing eyes chipped away any confidence I had and boiled my core slowly over the next 2 hours until there was little left. By the end, I knew her kind with expert precision, and my mind was in torture knowing the secret I would need to keep to stay alive, and this was just the first meeting. Over the harsh winter months, I came to realize this vampiric relationship would lead to severe blood loss, mostly from my brain, as I was deprived of life-giving oxygen, holding my breath, wondering what would happen next. And among the veiled atrocities and indignities uttered and threats dodged, I somehow managed to keep my sanity intact to avoid her realizing I knew she was indeed a bloodthirsty vampire. That is, until one fateful day. Mind you, this day had been building for many moons, stemming from periodic visits to the aforementioned castle-like institution. This vampiric soul and her team of fellow demons also visited our safe sanctuary. Feelings of general dread and an ever-watchful eye had worn me down and made me very vulnerable over time, and I feared that at any moment I might be caught off guard by a pair of fangs ready to sink into my unwilling flesh, tainted and corrupted by a vile mouth. On this day, paired off in a cramped room at our sanctuary with one of my colleagues, I kept my cool as this vampiric beam proceeded to tear apart what we, her minions, had set forth to create from our first visit. A simple story, made to weave a tale of how this castle was really a palace, and that this band of vampires was more angelic than pure evil. Back then, we knew not of their real intent and imagined a tale of purity and delight. But on this day, the intent was never more blatantly obvious. Our story instead filled with death and destruction of worlds. She was out for blood and cared not who spilled it. As sweat poured from my furrowed brow, my strength resolved and I lashed out. You've worked me to the bone. I can't do this anymore. Her icy glare penetrated my very soul, and her response seared me with a flash of fangs for the first time. I don't care who does it. It must be done. Just do it. And do it now. I knew at that point I must continue this terrible work, or surely I would be killed on the spot. This day hardened my resolve, however, and with visible stakes in hand and steady mind at the ready, I fought back at each subsequent meeting with her and her team, be it at the castle or our sanctuary, not caring if death claimed me. My bluff worked as the vampire began to back down slowly, curious if I would act at any moment. Only my closest colleagues knew the true pain and fear I felt, and only my dedicated professionalism kept my sanity in place. But finally, after several more months, I received word, finally, the vampire had perished. I was vindicated, and my soul breathed a sigh of relief. Vampires that had lived many moons longer than she had realized, she was on the brink of revealing a very dark secret, and they took swift action. To this day, I am unsure of this vampire's ultimate fate, but we must be ever vigilant and diligent if we are to keep our mind and soul intact when dealing with these type of demonic beings. To those who come after me, remember this one simple truth, and you may be saved. Blood may be sweet, but vindication is sweeter. Thank you.
That's great. You know, when you work with vampires, it really gives stakeholders a completely different meaning.
Stakeholders, yes. The tables are turned when the blood starts to spill.
Thank you so much, Damon.
Yeah, thank you. That was super fun. So happy to be here.
You've been listening to the Creative Agency Podcast with your host, Chris Bolton, who, when he's not podcasting or being a dad, he is the Digital Strategy Director at Murmur Creative in Portland, Oregon. Be sure to visit us online at creativeagencypodcast.com.